Okay, we're live.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Super Dan Anderson, and you are listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneer Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee in the Sport Karate Museum Archives. Protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Tell them Super Dan sent you.
Aloha, everybody. Aloha, everybody. We have an incredible show on tonight, and we have, I'm just excited. I'm overwhelmed. I've got some of my heroes on tonight, but before we introduce them, I have my producer on, Hunty Jesse Bowen. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And we got to remind everybody to please mute their phones, what they're talking to while we're talking, and then when you talk, of course, put it back on so the background noise is enough. But Hunty Jesse Bowen, thank you for allowing us to be in everybody's home every Tuesday night for the past 7 years. What do you have going on with the book and your podcast? Tell some people what's going on with you now.
Well, you know, the Cutmars book is still going very strong. You know, we're supporting UFAP and AMAA. And if you don't have a copy of this amazing book, you really want to get a copy of it. This is truly an amazing book with great stories and biographies. And the uniqueness of our book is not people talking about all the trophies they won or anything like that. The uniqueness of this book is people sharing stories, martial artists sharing stories of why they got involved in the martial arts and how the martial arts has impacted them, impacted their lives. So, now the book is still going strong. Congratulations, sir. You know, you were one of our first people that we certified as a podcast and blog radio show host. We are launching a program that individuals can learn how to host podcasts, how to market, brand themselves through podcasts. You know, our online coaching program, we've got quite a few courses. You can go up online, become a certified meditation coach. You can go on and take courses on personal development. We have, starting next week, every week we're going to have a different course coming out. And these courses are going to be added into the World Martial Arts News. They're putting on some online courses. So we're coming together with people that are trying to help make a difference in the martial arts, that we can keep the martial arts alive, that the martial arts is beyond just kicking and punching, but it's also about the other attributes that we gain by being a martial artist. And this is the time that those other attributes are so important. And this is what the American Martial Arts Alliance, we're trying to do. And we get ready to launch our book, which is supporting martial artists who've been in the martial arts for 50 years. We have a huge number of martial artists that have reached that point. So this book is a biography book focused on and dedicated to martial artists that have been involved in the martial arts for over 50 years.
Well, that's exciting. And thank you so much for that information. And like I said, we've got a great show on tonight, and we're still waiting on one special surprise guest. And I hope you listen and get him on here because it's there. God bless you, Jesse Bowen, for all your work. Okay, thank you, sir. Now
I'm here, sir. I'm here. Oh, you're talking about Mr. Wallace. I'm sorry. I'm going.
Yes, I was talking about Mr. Wallace. I wasn't talking about you yet, but you stay on the line because I'm going to introduce you, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi.
My co-host, Mr. Dean Piles, better known as the Wolverine. Hey, Dean, what's going on, bud?
Not much, sir. How you doing?
You realize how important the show is tonight? I mean, it's pretty cool.
Oh, now, yeah.
Don't go nowhere.
Yeah, you,
AJ, are you there? AJ.
Oh, I'm here. How are you, Professor?
Hey, guys. Both of you guys.
How you doing
listen,
today?
I'm going to jab slap you. You realize how important the show is tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gary. It's,
okay,
it's,
well, listen.
That's what the
museum's
about. It's
let
about
me introduce my three Peters. because I got to get Peter Sugarfoot on off the air real quick because he's working out with somebody, he said. Hey, Peter, are you there? Peter Cunningham.
I am, sir. I am right here,
hey,
guys.
Buddy. Well, listen, I'm going to put you on first because you asked out of respect to get you on and off. So, ladies
Thank
and gentlemen,
you very much,
Peter
sir.
Sugarfoot Cunningham on, and he was one of the three Peters we're going to talk about tonight. Now, Peter, you had an incredible record in kickboxing. I think it was like 50-1-0 or something. Is that correct?
Yeah, 50-1. Yes, sir. Yes,
hey, that's something someone else could brag about. Now, you're out of California. How is it in California? Pretty good?
Well, everything considered, guys, Cali is Cali, you know what I'm saying? But all things considered right now with the COVID and all that, it's all right, you know?
Yeah, Peter, you're part of the three Peters I introduced, so don't go nowhere. The other Peter I'm introducing is Mr. Peter Pack from Wisconsin. Peter, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
Hey, Pete. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Now, I know your daughter's in town, and you're taking a moment to spend on the time on the radio show with me, and I appreciate it so much. Now, you were one of the top-rated fighters from the 80s and the 90s, correct?
No, actually, late 70s to early 80s. I stopped competing in 83.
Okay, I'm sorry. But you actually came from Korea, and we're going to talk a little bit about your history tonight because I think it's very interesting and your lineage. And thank you for so much for being on the show. Let me go to the third Peter. And this is a hero, guys. This is someone who was back in the old USKA days with Mr. Trias and one of the international Trias guys. I mean, friends of mine with Golly Bum, Parker Shelton, a lot of people. Pete Rubino, are you there? Pete Rubino, sir. Did I lose Pete Rubino? Golly bum. Well, I'll tell you what. Flim Evans, are you there from Hawaii?
You might be on mute.
Okay, is this Pete or Flim?
This is Flim.
Hey, Flim. You're going to have to talk about Pete a little bit because I don't know if I lost him or not. Anyway, I got Dean Flim Evans from Hawaii calling me right now. And he was one of the top fighters we ever had in America, but he was the number one fighter of the USKA days. Now, you remember Pete Rubino, don't you? He called you, didn't he?
Yes, I do.
Good. Now, Flim, thank you for being on this show tonight and listening to my rambling. But hey, Dean Piles and AJ, you realize who Flim Evans is?
Oh, yeah.
Is this AJ?
Sorry, Professor.
Yes,
Professor. I was on the mat. I didn't hear you. Hang on. What now?
I was just asking, do you realize who Dean Flim Evans is? Not just from
what
I said, but, yeah, his history and what he did. You know?
Yes, and that's why we're here to listen to some more of it, because it's parts unknown. So, that's why this show is so incredible, because you bring on some of the most amazing people, and it's awesome to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's what the museum's about, is protecting the history and keeping the history alive for the youngsters.
Now, Flynn, let me ask you, you fought some incredible people back in the 70s, and you were influenced by a lot of people like Mr. Trias. What was it like fighting people like Monster Man Ibrahim and these other guys that you fought?
Well, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. Everett was one of the biggest people that I ever fought. And him and Johnny Lee, and he had about 70 pounds on me.
Yeah, you were lightweight back then. Now, Peter Sugarfoot Cunningham, as a kickboxer,
yes, sir.
Did you fight point for karate before you fought kickboxing?
I did. That's
you
my
did.
Roots. I came from Chicharu Karate. So
what's
I entered
song?
Tournaments. Yeah, I entered tournaments in Alberta. And Saskatchewan and British Columbia in my karate days. And then I went into professional boxing and kickboxing. But karate is my roots.
You were up there in Canada with Don Warner and Golly Bomb, all those guys, Scott Hogarth, and I mean, some really cool people up there, man.
We got some great fighters in Canada. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. My buddy, who was one of the baddest kata guys I ever met, Keith Weston, he's from Canada, and Scott Hogarth. Good people, man. Good people. Now, Peter,
yes, sir.
How do you walk around with a 51-0 record, man? I mean, you must have been beat on a lot, huh?
Well, I got to tell you something. They call him Sugarfoot for a reason. You feel me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, why do they call you Sugarfoot?
They actually, the nickname, our guest of honor this evening, I believe, is Mr. Bill Superfoot Wallace. And back in the day, as a kid coming up, they thought I boxed like Sugar Ray Leonard and a kick like Bill Superfoot Wallace. So they just merged the two nicknames together and called me Sugarfoot. Sugar for Sugar Ray and Foot, and then the sweet feet from Bill Superfoot Wallace. You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
Yes,
that is awesome, isn't it? That is. Now, the other Peter I want to talk, Mr. Pack, Peter Pack, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, we talked earlier in this conversation. You're actually from Korea. Now, tell me a little about your dad's history and the interesting part of the Korean history, please.
Well, actually, first of all, I'd like to say hello to Clem. I don't know if Clem remembers me. I am also from the Chicago region originally. And, yeah, I'd just like to say hello. I haven't seen him in maybe...
Clem, do you remember Peter Pack?
Well, no, I don't, to be honest with you.
That's because you're a young man. That's why.
In 75 and 76, I was just breaking into the American style, the open style competitions in the Chicago area, and you used to win everything.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
And
you know what they say: you throw enough against the wall, some of it's gonna stick.
Well, you know what? Watching you fight, a lot of things stuck with me, and I worked really hard at my fighting. I was about the only Korean guy that came around to Chicago's open tournaments. And watching you fight, I realized, you know what, Clem Evans fights in a way that, he makes tournament fighting look easy. And
what a nice thing to say, Peter.
Back in the 70s when I would fight at the Korean tournaments, they would usually meet me at the door and say, "Mr. Evans, this is Korean tournament. No kicking in the pee-pee."
Did you hear that, Dean?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, I was at those Taekwondo tournaments, the Korean tournaments, for many years before I came over to the open tournaments that was held by Ken Knutson and with John Sharkey and that crew, and so that's why I was close to Clem Evans and his flying Baptist and a quick sidekick underneath. So I learned a lot from Clem. I really feel honored to be here in the same company.
Ain't it cool? And you know what? It's live radio, so these other guys, they're trying to get it on now. I'm sure the Hunchy Bone is trying to put them on. But golly gabum, guys. I'm so excited about talking to you guys. Now, Peter, talk about your dad a little bit. Talk about your dad.
Well, my dad. Okay. My dad is Dr. Song Ki Pak. And everybody knew him as Dr. Pak. And I don't know if Clem remembers that name, but... We all came to the United States in 1969. I was 11 years old. My dad came as he's a PhD in pathology, and he came over to University of Wisconsin because University of Wisconsin had a private research lab that where they asked him to do autopsies. Pretty soon, he ended up opening a dojo, opening a martial arts school in Madison, Wisconsin. And he was in 1945, 46 maybe, he was one of the first students that ever trained under Byung-Yin Yoon, who had come back from Japan. He was a Korean chuan fa guy, and he had come back from Japan after training with Toyama Kanken at the university there. And my father was the first to get his black under Byung-Yin Yoon, who's actually Byung-Yin Yoon's trained dojo mate in Japan, was a gentleman by the name of Ki-Hwan Kim. And I think that's a name that most people recognize. Ki-Hwan Kim.
Mr. Marlboro and George Anderson and a bunch of those guys.
Mitchell Bobro, Mike Warren.
Mike Warren.
Albert Cheeks. Yeah, that was
Albert Cheeks. You guys remember Albert Cheeks?
Yeah. What a guy.
John Kritzos, right. And my father was his first black belt in Korea. Now, I didn't know any of this until about 1989 when I finally trapped him in his hotel room and said, "Dad, you're going to fill me in a history that I don't know about." And
James Roberts.
After a few beers, some of the stuff came out, and he told me who he was. But he was one of those guys who had a very open mind. Just like Ki-Hwan Kim told him, that you really can't find out how good you are if you can't even work.
Peter, that's so cool. Thank you so much. Did Pete Rubino ever get back on?
I'm on.
Okay, I'm on. Pete, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, buddy. I tried to let Clem introduce a little bit, but, you know, we're going to have to, this is live radio. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I've got Pete Rubino, one of my heroes, one of the guys that I grew up just meeting, wanting to meet him and watch him fight. He was the captain of the old USKA fighting team under Mr. Trias and one of the original Trias International fighting guys. Now, Flem, do you realize having all you guys on the air tonight with Pete Rubino and we're still waiting on Bill, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? Now, Pete Rubino, how's California?
You know, it's beautiful here. I'm blessed with 75-degree weather here in Laguna Beach. And my wife has kept my wife, who's a doctor from Argentina, she keeps me healthy.
Well, I've got the three Peters on, guys. This is so exciting to me. Now, Peter Cunningham. Sir.
Yes, sir.
Peter Cunningham. Sir, Sugarfoot.
Yes, sir.
You realize who Pete Rubino is? Do you remember him? Or have you ever met him or you know who he is?
I've never met. Had the pleasure, my man.
Okay, I'm going to ask Pete to kind of talk about what he's done a little bit to kind of refresh not only the people who are on the air now tonight, but also the people who are listening. So, Pete, don't be humble. Tell people a little bit what you did for sport karate in America, please.
Well, I started under Grandmaster Robert A. Trias in 1959. I was already a Chinese Kung Fu stylist, practicing Xingyi and Silam, but O-Sensei Trias said, come with me and I'm going to treat you the proper way and not to hurt anybody, because I used to punch people up, because I said, if that's the way you want to play, I'll play the same way. And my good friend Jerry Pettinson and Dan Anderson and Roy Kirvin asked me to be on that fighting team at Mr. Parker's tournament in 1974, and we won it. So we had a good time. I'm the president and founder of the American
Now,
Karate Culture.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes?
Pete, Mr. Rubino, sir. Pete.
Yes?
Tell me what you think about Clem Evans. About Clem Evans.
I'm telling you. I didn't get a chance to go fight in the tournament he was in, but I knew of him, and I saw him fight one time, and I actually got disqualified in a tournament one time because I drew blood, and he was fighting Parker Shelton, who was the president of the Trius International Society.
Yes, rest in peace, Parker.
And Parker came out to Arizona, and in the tournament I was in. And I happened to sneak by him and beat him in a contest, and he was really, really, really upset when Mr. Evans fought him and lost to him. I mean, he lost to Mr. Evans.
You remember that? You remember that fight?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I remember that fight so bad. He went to take it out on me. I said, "Wow, I thought we were friends." And anyway, I ended up streaking by him and beat him by a point. And after that, he was just furious. So I said, "Okay, what's the story?" And he said, "You know, you fight like the old days, rough, hard, and whatever." And I said, "You know, I really enjoy." And I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I got beat last weekend or whatever it was, and under Dean Flynn Evans. And I said, "Wow, that guy, I know that guy. That guy is so quick, so fast." And
now, Pete, did you get the call, Bill?
Yes.
Yesterday, did you get the call?
Yeah,
Mr.
I did.
Wallace,
and we
yesterday?
Talked.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
We were supposed to. Bill and I were. We were running mates. We used to go to tournaments here and there, and he's my co-captain. I was of the USKA team championships held in Long Beach. And that was put on by Mr. Parker and Chuck Norris and I believe, I forget his name. Mike Stone, yeah. Mike Stone fought, so I'm in a tournament, and he asked to fight in instruments, which I did, and I end up winning, and I was on Mike Stone's team champions. And we fought in Hawaii together.
You know that Mike came from the Philippines to cut the ribbon on the Sport Karate Museum? I mean, he did that for
no
me
kidding.
And for all you guys. I mean, he cut the ribbon. It was so cool that Mike came from the Philippines to do that. And I gotta mention about Mike Dillard. You know, Mike Dillard, who owns Century and also Black Belt Magazine, you know, he has been my friend and a supporter of the museum from day one. And, you know, Mr. Pittington, we told the story about Jerry. I mean, he's a character, man. I mean, Flynn, did you ever fight Jerry Pittington back in the day?
What was his name?
Jerry Pittington.
Jerry Pittington.
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Okay. Okay, now, Peter Cunningham, you understand who Peter Rubino is now?
Yes, I do, sir. Legends
cool?
of legends. These are you gentlemen the guys
well, thank
who.
Thank you very much.
Well, all except for Billy.
Yes, brother.
Billy,
yes,
Mr.
For real.
Wallace,
we all, well, look at this. We all, the generation coming up, always check who are the top dogs, right? And you always
yes,
and you learn.
Thank you.
You learn from history, as they say. You learn from the best. And you, by the grace of God, imitate the guys before you and take it someplace else, you know? I like to think I did some of that, you know, from learning from you boys, man. Absolutely.
Well, I want to bring Peter Pack back. I got Peter Pack.
Hey, Gary.
Peter Pack.
I'm here.
Gary.
Okay, I want to ask you a personal question because you and I have the same attitude towards something because you came from Korea, I came from Hawaii, but I got to ask you a parts unknown question, okay, buddy?
All right.
Okay, what was it like having slanted eyes and coming to America?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Okay, what was it like having slanted eyes and being different and coming to America and being thrown into the American culture? We talked about it one night for an hour, but just tell people what it was like coming to America.
Well, for me, coming to America, I didn't speak any English when I came here. I learned my English on the airplane. And when I landed in Chicago, my father, you know, he taught me how to connect letters to form words. When I landed in Chicago, I could read English. I could read it, you know. I mean, I had no idea what I was reading, and so on and so forth. But boy, could I read, you know, men, etc. I didn't know what any of that meant. But that's how I learned English. You know, when I first came to this country, someone asked me. They said, "Hey, you know, what are some of the main differences that you see?" And I said, "You know what? There's so many differences." And but and this became, I don't know, maybe back then it wasn't considered racist, but it was almost to a point where, like,
it was,
you know,
tough, man. I mean, it was tough for me, let alone I was Japanese Hawaiian, but I had slanted eyes and I was dark skin, and it was tough, Peter. I mean, golly bum, I tell you something, if it wasn't for karate and the guys that took care of me, I don't know what I would have done. It was one of the toughest things I've ever had to deal with. Now, AJ Perry, I want to ask you a question. AJ,
yeah.
What's it like having all these incredible guys on the show tonight? I want you to kind of talk from your heart, because you're my spokesman for all the military guys, and I know I don't let you talk that much, but I want you to say what you feel about what these guys doing on the show tonight means to you.
Well, you know, you got some real martial art history here. And, you know, the great part about this is, you know, they not only recollect and reminisce on the tournaments and memories that they have, but they get a chance to share it with the listeners and a lot of young listeners. So a lot of these, you know, younger guys or younger students, you know, they may not remember these competitors, the three Peters, but they get a chance and opportunity to learn about it and learn about the history and keep it alive. That's a real important part of the museum. So
yes,
I think it's real special you brought them all together. And you know what else, Gary?
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The other thing is, you know, you were talking about Jerry Pittington before. You know, he was one heck of a technician.
Yes, he was.
Very good technician.
Well, you know, I appreciate your comment on all these legends. Now, Dean, where you at? Quit knocking people out and get on the line. Dean.
Yeah, I'm here.
I want you to tell these guys what it means to be all these guys together. Even though Billy didn't get on, my buddy, you know, our
Uncle Bill.
Yeah, Uncle Bill. So anyway, tell these guys what it means to have these guys together.
Well, not only am I a spokesman for the military and am military and just got done working some of their America's finest today with some upcoming stuff that you know, people in America will be finding out soon. We ain't playing no games here, but, you know, it's the way it looks on TV. But it's amazing to have these guys on here and have this lineage. You know, I grew up, you know, with Grandmaster Lewis, and a lot of people know he was like he was a father figure to me, and, you know, he was my mentor and friend. And, I mean, just like you and I, Professor, talk pretty much daily, him and I up until his passing was the same way. You know, and, you know, he instilled, as you do, in me the respect that you need to have for the people that paved the way, you know, to get to where we're at. You know, as I'm training the guys out here, I'm listening, guys talking about in the 50s and the early 60s and the early 70s, you know, and it's just crazy because, you know, I mean, I started training in the early 70s, but, you know, I wasn't like that was my beginning stages. Not, you know, these guys were actually taking care of business and laying that foundation and already making history then. And these are the guys that I was watching as a young martial artist and looking up to and aspiring to be like. And, you know, it's just awesome to get to sit back and listen to them talk.
It's really, really cool. I know that when I started 7 years ago, I had a vision, Dean. I had a vision of putting together some incredible people from the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. And I never realized that what the joy would be to be able to listen to the show afterwards, because, you don't really realize some of the things that we talk about till after you listen. So in a few minutes, when we come back and we talk about the 3 minutes with the Wolverine, get ready because we have this the topic tonight is class. And we got
yes,
a lot
sir.
Of class on the show tonight. So I'll bring you back in just a minute. But, guys,
yes, sir.
I want to tell everybody how excited I am. And we're just going to take a moment, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask everybody, Pete Rubino, Peter Cunningham, Sugarfoot, Peter
yeah,
right Pack, and everybody in Flint.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you guys some names, and you guys can talk about the person. I'm going to throw some names at you. It's something that we call the Legends Name Game. And you got to talk about them and tell them how you like them or you don't like them or whatever. We'll be back in just a few moments with everybody, ladies and gentlemen. And again, this is Professor Gary Lee with Parts Unknown. And I've got an incredible show tonight with Pete Rubino, Peter Pack, and Peter Sherfoot Cunningham, and Dean Slim Evans. And even though Bill didn't get to make it, you know, he's in our spirit because he's a friend of all of ours. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back in a few minutes. But before we do, I'm bringing on one of the sponsors and one of the people that really are responsible to help bring in the museum and the idea of everything we're doing together. Dr. Reginald Lee, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Good evening. How you doing?
Doctor, I know I don't mean to put a pun into it, but I'm kind of knocking your pecker into the dirt tonight with all these guys I know, you know, because you come from Rick Wigginton. Now, maybe you guys don't remember
sir.
Rick Wigginton, but he used to be he used to write for Black Belt Magazine, guys, and Dr. Lee, he has invented what we call the hologram experience, and this is a virtual reality format where the history journal portals, people like Flem Evans and Pete Rubino and Jerry Pittington and so many others, Chuck and golly bum, Bill Wallace, everybody will be in there and we'll be able to tell their history. Now, Dr. Lee, how are you, sir?
Great, great. Good today.
How's the front line? Because I want everybody to know that you're a real doctor. You're dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. So I'm asking you seriously, how's it going out there in the front line?
It's rough out there. We're trying to get everybody online. The vaccines are out, and we're very happy the vaccines are out. And we're seeing daylight at the end of the tunnel, and we think we're going to all pull out of this soon. So we just gonna keep our fingers crossed and keep on staying vigilant in what to do in regards to assisting everybody in regards to fighting this pandemic.
Yes, sir. Now, introduce the Set VR, the virtual reality hologram, and the History Journal portals that we were introduced. Introduce the hologram aspect of it so people understand it, please. Thank you.
Sure. Yes. My partner, Richard Shanahan, my marketing director, Marie Shanahan, my developers and I are excited about Set VR, self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality, as a platform whereby one can practice their skills in self-defense whenever, wherever they want. The program is compact and portable. You can take it anywhere you travel, and even during a pandemic that we're having right now, you can continue to practice while practicing social distancing. With the use of an Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The important goal of Set VR is to have you to be able to neutralize an attack or threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. You'll be able to practice to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, or circular movements, to avoid and to place you in an opportunistic position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy as you develop muscle memory. And subsequently, my goal is to develop a reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize without hesitation, just like you would do in regards to when you go to a doctor's office, when he taps on your knee, you create a knee jerk, which is a reflex response, or if you accidentally place your hand on a hot stove, you remove your hand very quickly as a reflex response. the platform whereby you can practice and utilize what you have been taught in techniques, in katas and forms in your dojos, in a program for application against a threat or a stimulus that is a random attack, and as I mentioned before, you can practice it anytime, anywhere, when you want. We plan to have future updates in regards to multiple attackers, home invasion, barroom settings, and even a war zone. Set Radar will push you maximally to your limits in self-defense. We recently updated our program with kicking, punching, and with knife attacks. As you know, knife attacks up and close are very, very dangerous attacks. We've implemented that program in our program in Set VR. We plan to have future updates with random virtual matches whereby, for example, Professor Gary Lee can have a virtual confrontation with Jesse Bowen or AJ or the Wolverine in any parts of the country or even different parts of the world. Will they be able to interact with each other to practice their skills in neutralization, whereby they can learn from each other in regards to the application of self-defense? We've implemented metrics that will record the number of successful punches, number of blocks, number of evasions, whether it's right side or left side dominant, and will record your endurance, record as time spent in the experience. You'll be able to learn the importance of creating a diversion when you grasp the attacker's arms or wrists to create a 1 to 3 second pause, a natural response, a window of opportunity for neutralization. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation, exercises, and you'll be also be introduced to your own personal web, personal yoga instructor. So please continue to visit us at our website at setvr.app. We will be implementing the ability for the operator or the person involved in our program to choose the speed and pace of the attack to further enhance the unpredictability of the attack. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of the history portal. With that being said, Professor Gary Lee, can you tell the audience a little bit about your vision of the history portal?
Well, all that is really cool. I mean, they're able to do it in virtual reality, but I wanted to create something different. And so the idea was created, 30 years ago when we created the museum. But when we first did virtual reality, the first time I did it, I jumped out of a plane at 30,000 feet. It scared the crap out of me. But I said, this is something that's the future. And then we started working together, and the History General portals came about. Now, guys, you got to imagine like a storefront where you can go in and you can purchase or get involved with swords or clothing or vitamins or whatever. But what we're going to do, we're going to educate people. So, for instance, we'll put in questions. We're going to start with like 50 questions, like who is Chuck Norris? Who is Jean LaBelle? What is the difference between Tang Soo Do and Taekwondo? What is the difference between Gung Fu and Kung Fu? What is Kung Fu? Whatever. We'll give you questions. And the person will get smarter and smarter and smarter. Eventually, he'll go out into a forest away from the village, and the hologram will appear, and you have to defeat it. And you do. And Mako, or the wisdom warrior that we're going to choose, will appear, and he'll say, okay, Flem Evans, are you educated? And Flem, of course, say, of course I am. He goes, he's answered all the questions, and he's smart. And Mako will look at Flem, and he'll say, okay, I'm sorry, you have to go back. So Flem will have to go back and learn more about more questions and more answers. We're going to start with 50 and maybe work up to 500. Can you imagine how educated that the general practitioner will be about martial arts in America when they get done? And then the hologram will appear again. This time it will be a samurai with a katana, a wakizashi, and a tanto. And you have to defeat it with Okinawa weapons. So you're getting educated at the difference of Japanese weapons and Okinawa weapons. You're getting smarter. You're getting educated. Flem is done. He's answered all the questions, and he's done. And Mako appears. He says, okay, Flem, are you educated? This time he is. And Mako will take his hand, lead him to a gate, and the gate will open up. And there will be the History Journal portals Now, we're going to start with a few. Mike Stone, Alan Steen, J. Pat Burleson, Jerry Smith from the BKF, and, of course, Rick Wicker, rest in peace, and Jim Harrison, rest in peace. And then we'll start with those guys and then all the history generals. That means the history in those portals will be told. You'll learn everything there is about Mike Stone, J. Pat Burleson, Alan Steen, and so forth. And you've earned that by going through and beating the hologram, which Dr. Lee and Mr. Shanahan has invented. So, Dr. Lee, every week I get excited about introducing it. Now, I'm excited about you being involved. Now, you actually trained with Rick Wiginton for many years. And what was the main thing that you learned from Rick before you left for us?
The unpredictability of an attack. And that's where we're trying to depict on this program, the unpredictability attack, because when you go out into real life, when you're out in the streets, an attack can come anywhere. So you have to be prepared at any time, anywhere, and be able to react at a moment's notice in regards to action reflexes without even thinking. And that's what I've learned from my sensei, Richard Wiginton, is prepared
well,
to have these
you.
Reflexes.
You know what I learned from Rick? You know what I learned from Rick, Dr. Lee? I learned how not to put any type of BS out there on the air and make it authentic. Rick was my friend. He was a good guy. I liked him a lot. So anyway, thank you so much for your info, and I'll see you in May, Dr. Lee. God bless you, sir. Stay safe.
Hey, Gary.
You too.
Gary.
Thank you.
Yeah, AJ.
I got a question for Dr. Lee.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with Neuralink?
Neuralink. Can you...
Neuralink, right. That's something that Elon Musk has started a company. And I was thinking about this actually just this morning when I was reading up on Neuralink. It's where Elon Musk developed this company where they're interfacing a person's brain with a computer.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Okay.
That's the technology that is up there. And it's amazing what technology can go to in regards to what your brain can do, because as you know, your brain is the thing that determines how you behave, and not only in public but also in self defense. So the Neuralink is a very important evolutionary technology that people are going into and developing. I think it's amazing.
They had a monkey or a chimpanzee hooked up to that, and he was playing a video game with his brain.
Yes, that's totally amazing. It's totally amazing.
Yeah.
AJ, I'm impressed because I didn't think you were that smart. God bless you, AJ. I'm just kidding. Now, Dean,
what do you mean that smart? He had them things hooked to his brain. He just said it.
That's right.
Okay.
He played a game with
him. I created a segment a few weeks ago called 3 Minutes with the Wolverine. And this is the alias of Dean Piles, my student. And tonight's topic is really interesting. We have different topics every week. This one is class in martial arts or in tournament. Okay, Wolverine, you got 3 minutes. Go.
All right, so class. You know, there's a lot of different things that I think of when I think of the word class. And, you know, one of the best ways to tell a competitor that's classy, and we'll go with competition, is how they win or lose. You know, you have a lot of people that they may be good and they may win, but they act like it. You know, they throw off on their opponents. They kind of look down their nose at them. You show up in competitions and, you know, they think that they're above everybody else because they win a lot, and so they don't really talk to anybody, or they snub them off, or, you know, act like that they're not in the same league, things of that nature. And, you know, then you have those guys that come in and they're humble, and they show respect to the ring, to the facility where the competition is going to go down, to their instructors. And no matter whether they win or lose, they're always a stand-up act, and they gain the respect of the judges and the crowd and the people around them. And, you know, that's how people should be in life. And I always say, from the Kicking It with the Wolverines podcast, you know, I tell people, you know, you need to judge people by their character. And, you know, class is a good way to let your character show, and having good character and doing the right thing and treating people the way you want to, so that when people see you compete, you want to draw them into the martial arts and make them say, man, I want to be a martial artist because of that guy. You know, so I always stop the competition when parents will bring their kids up, and I'll either be getting ready for sword competition or whatever, the division, and their parents will say, oh, he's a huge fan, he likes to watch. I always try to show them a little something and spend some time with them, because, you know, those people, those kids are the future, and not just kids, but there's adults too that get in it late in life, and they see it, and they see how you act and how you treat people, and that goes a long way.
Hey, Wolverine, you're going in and out.
Do what?
Wolverine, you're going in and out. I don't know if it's the background noise of somebody or, but
I'm impressed.
You're a lot nicer than I thought the Wolverine would say, talk about
well,
class.
You know, I don't really need to be that bad on class. Now, you know, there are those guys that, if you want to get my dandruff, that come in thinking they're better than everybody else, and they're not better than anybody else. They just have family, friends, and students judging, and that's the only way they get anywhere. Or they try to ride the coattails of people that have done stuff and, you know, try to talk a good game, but they've not done anything, and there's nothing to show for it, and they, you know, just make up a bunch of crap about how awesome they are. Now, that's a different kind of class, but that's low class, not high class. And I think in the martial arts world, we always need to be high class, you know, and try to do the right thing and inspire to do the right thing and always lead from the front.
Yeah, hey, Gary, you got a comment on the word class?
Yeah. I think it kind of boils down to that lesson your mom taught you when you were a kid, or the golden rule. You treat people the way you'd like to be treated. You know, years ago, when a lot of the Korean instructors started coming over, I'm not saying all, but a lot, you know, they handled themselves, you know, pretty classy. You know, they didn't have big mouths, most of them. And I think it bled off to a lot of their students. A lot of those early instructors were kind of like considered almost like monks. And then, and I hate to say this, but I really believe American karate did a disservice to competition because they kind of, how should I put it, encouraged a lot of competitors to, you know, carry on like idiots. And, you know,
well, they think about their
style. Well, AJ, let me ask you, AJ, aren't you kind of bewildered how nice the Wolverine is about the word class?
You said word?
I'm just overwhelmed by how nice he's being.
Well, there's no reason to be upset about class unless you're talking about people that are not classy. And, hey, look. There's some people out there that are not classy that like to flap off at the mouth, but you know how I deal with that by telling them that there's the mat. Let's get out there and we'll find out. That's how you find out where their class is, by whipping their, well, you know, you know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, we do. Well, Wolverine, thank you so much for your 3 minutes and about the.
You're welcome, sir.
And we'll bring you back next week on another topic. And don't go nowhere, because golly bum, I'm going to do the legend thing with all these legends, and it's going to be interesting what they say about some people. But before we do, I got to do a big shout out to Warner's Magazine, my dear friend, Mr. Don Warner. Aloha, buddy. God bless you, Don Warner. You know, we're very proud to support you and what you do with Warriors Magazine. And you know what the neat thing about it is? That Don Warner is from Canada. He's been around a long time. And Warriors Magazine is a magazine that kind of tells how the traditional masters came to America. And this is one of the things that we're going to be doing here with the Sport Karate Museum website. So I'm real excited about this. But, you know, everybody, if you get a chance to look up or find out about Warriors Magazine, check it out. So, God, thank you, Wolverine. Thank you, AJ. Now, Legends, Pete Rubino, Peter Cunningham, and golly, Peter Pack and Flim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. I'm going to hit you with a name. It's going to be a free-for-all, and whoever talks, talks. Okay, here's the first name. Joe Louis. Who wants to talk about him?
Oh, man.
Joe Louis.
That's the epitome. That's the epitome of class right there.
Yeah, he's a classy man. Class act.
Yes, he was. I only had the opportunity to fight him one time in USK Nationals back in 72. I just wasn't ready for his class at that time.
Yeah, he was a cool man.
Yes. Okay. How about another name? Because we go through them a lot. Because I got a bunch of names. Bill Wallace. We didn't get to Bill on the line tonight, but talk about Bill a little bit. Bill Wallace.
That's a class act right there. He fought him
three times in 74.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, guys. This is a free for all. Peter Pack, Cunningham, everybody, talk about Bill Wallace.
Well, Bill Wallace made it fun to go to tournaments. You know, whenever you watch him fight, it's just fun to watch him. He's always smiling. He's always, you watch him fight, and especially when you're a young man, you sit there and go, wow. Yeah, and he's always nice to everybody. You know, so it's fun to watch him.
Peter, I'm going to add something to that. I agree with you. You know, the lowest ranked person around that doesn't know a whole lot about martial arts, he'll make those people feel comfortable. And he's got a way about him, about making people feel comfortable, making them feel special. And that's a trait not everybody has.
Good point, AJ. Okay, another name, guys, Chuck Norris.
Oh, boy. That man is the class act. He was a wonderful person to be around, and he set the standard for a lot of people.
Did any of you guys ever watch him fight?
I'm sorry?
No, I never got to watch him, but I watch him on YouTube all the time.
Cool. Okay, I'm going to throw a text at you. Alan Steen. Did anybody ever fight Alan Steen or know Alan Steen?
Oh, no. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, I saw him fight back in the 60s, and that guy was just too much. He was he set the bar high.
He was brutal.
He was brutal, and I fought in his tournaments, and, boy, he had some fine students there.
How about Roy Kerbin? Someone talk about Roy Kerbin. Pete Rubino,
yeah,
talk about
together.
Roy Kerbin.
Oh, I fought him in Las Vegas. We went to a time, and we enjoyed. We fought together in Hawaii, and he was on the same team I was on, and in the 74 when we won the team championships at Ed Parker's tournament.
That was Jerry and Dan Anderson. That was a hell of a team. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, Jerry Pennington, Dan Anderson, Roy Kerbin, Alan Steen, and myself, Pete Rubino.
Wow, what a team. What a team.
Yeah, we beat everybody. That was enjoyable.
Okay, how about my crazy friend Gene LaBelle? You guys ever, Peter Cunningham, I know you know Gene LaBelle.
That was Mr. Judo. That's what everybody said. He was in Ronda Rousey's corner, helping her out.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to throw Hawaii. I'm going to throw Hawaii in there. Great kickboxer. Okay. Dennis Alexio. You guys ever meet him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched him. I watched him fight once in Honolulu.
Now, Pete Rubino, who were some of your favorite planners?
Well, let me see. I like Glenn Keeney. He taught me a whole lot. Victor Moore from the way back east. There was Woodrow Fairbanks. There's there's some tough guys up back there.
Peter Pack. Who were some of your favorite fighters? I know Raymond McCallum was one of your favorite fighters. Who are some of your favorite fighters?
My favorite fighters, Flem Evans for one, because I learned a lot from him. Dan Anderson, I learned a lot watching him fight. We used to hang out and talk about different strategies. John Longstreet beat me a bunch of times, and so I thought he was great. My favorite fighter to watch and try and emulate was a guy named Mike Warren from Washington D.C. Best pure kicker. You know, so in the Taekwondo world, we try to pick out the best kickers, and I think that. I think he was probably top of the list there.
Absolutely.
Keith Vitale was
Flem, how about you? We're going old school now. Flem, how about you? How were some of your favorite fighters?
Well, I have to say, out of Chicago, we had a guy named Johnny Castaldo. Castaldo was so fast that he was so fast you couldn't even see him move. And Johnny was great. Him, Kenny Knudsen, little guy named Ernie Lieb out of Michigan.
Oh yeah,
those guys were really good.
Now Ernie Lieb, he invented the AKA, correct? The American Karate Association.
Yes, he did, and he turned it over to my instructor, Kenny Knudsen, and. Kenny, he was one of the toughest fighters that I ever encountered. He could take it as much as he could dish it out.
Cool. Now, AJ, who are some of your favorite fighters?
Well, you were talking about Mike Warren before. I was thinking of a Forms guy, and it was somebody I try to emulate and I studied a lot. And that was James Roberts, and he came from the same school. He was one of the finest form competitor I ever saw in my life.
Hey,
Animal,
was I talking about forms? I was talking about fighting, wasn't I, guys?
Well, I started thinking about John Crisco.
That's my Yankee friend, AJ Perry. We're not talking about forms, AJ. We're talking about fighting.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay.
That's being funny.
John Crisco was an
excellent
fighter.
Dean, are you there, Dean?
Hey, Gary, I'm not done. John Crisco.
Okay, well, quit talking about forms. We're talking about fighting.
I'm talking about fighting. I am. And then
John Crisco was top-notch fighter.
He was good man. And also kind of an unknown, but, was Tony Blanchard. He was a phenomenal fighter. He came from IJ.
Another Ohio guy.
Ohio, right.
Right. Tony and I fought in 1975 in Cincinnati. He beat me in overtime, and his reverse punch came out of nowhere.
He was quick. Grease lightning.
He was.
We got Master Ons tournament.
From Ohio. Or was in Cincinnati,
right.
Ohio.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Does anybody remember a guy named Mike March from Michigan?
I do. Master Trendra, one of my friend students.
He was good. He had some beautiful legs.
Well, we're talking about Ohio guys. We got to put a shout out to Kenny Ferguson, our friend who is going through some illness right now. And he was a great fighter from Ohio. And golly bum. You guys remember Ron Shaw and Buddy and Mike Stone, the Isheru guys?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
One of a fighter.
Yeah, good fighters, man. Good fighters.
I remember Ron Shaw.
What about Ron Shaw?
I remember him, boy. He was a man. He had a reverse punch that was unbelievable.
Yes,
yeah, it's funny you say that. He's the first guy I fought in black belt division, you know, back in the day.
Wait a minute. You and fought AJ? I thought you all you do is step on glass. I'm sorry.
He beat me with his red punch.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm trying to get Dean. Dean, are you there? Are you? Can you hear me, Dean? He gets away from his phone. He can't hear me.
I think there was an underrated fighter out of the East Coast, guy named Gerard Robbins. He's one of the best fighters.
Gerard Robbins, yes, good fighter.
Yeah, great fighter, great kicker, great. He could kick, he could punch, great defense. I thought and he's traveled too. I don't know why he wasn't rated higher than what he was, but thought he was a great fighter.
Well, I can't thank you guys how much. It's been exciting talking to everybody tonight, and I miss Billy, who can be on the air. But God bless everybody: Clem Evans, Peter Pack, Peter Cunningham, Peter Rubino, and of course my co-host Dean Perry, Dean Piles, and Dr. Lee. I appreciate everybody so much, and a big shout out to everybody who listens to the show. And if you want to listen to the show, you can go to Google and type AMAA Radio, and you can listen to all of us ranting and raving tonight as we've been on the show. And God bless everybody. Remember, May 1st, we're doing our Living Legends and Cotter Wars and roasting Mr. Al Garza. And God bless everybody, as we always say, every weekend or every week, every Tuesday in your home, mahalo.
Hello.
Good night,
God
everybody.
Bless you there. Okay, good night.
Good night.